You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio.
In a world where jobs are how most people make money, one man, one desire, one challenge dares to break the mold. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where we don't work for money. Money works for us. Coming soon, viewer discretion advised.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network. I'm your host, Bill Manicero, and this is a show where 50-plussers and anyone else who wants to join us get solid, no-sales-pitch real estate investing advice to help generate real cash flow. This podcast airs twice weekly on Mondays and Fridays, and if you aren't already a subscriber, go to iTunes, type in Old Dog, spelled D-A-W-G, find our podcast, and subscribe. Well, today we have a real treat for you. Our guest today is not a real estate investor. In fact, he's not really even related to real estate investing, but he is a fellow old dog, and he has an incredible background in business and an approach to life that's inspiring, to say the least. Our guest today is Bill Morris. Bill Morris is a former Wall Street executive, a professor, an author. He has done all kinds of things, lived in countries all around the world, and just an absolutely amazing background that he's going to be sharing with us as we learn a little bit about him and about his approach to life in general. He also happens to be a fellow old dog, as I mentioned, and at 69 years of age, he has a great attitude, a great outlook on life. Well, I guess I have missed kind of one of the most amazing accomplishments he had in the mid-1980s. He set the world record for consecutive sit-ups with 20,100 sit-ups in 11 hours and 32 minutes. And this was acknowledged by the Guinness Book of World Records, covered by ABC, NBC, and CBS. But without any further ado, I'd like to welcome Mr. Bill Morris. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network.
Thank you, Bill. I really appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Well, you have an amazing background, and I think it's inspiring, because a lot of the folks that are listening are people who are in that next season of life, and they are looking at and trying to make a lot of different decisions in their life. I just thought, you know, you being able to share some of your background and some of what you're doing today, I think is going to be just a real encouragement for a lot of these folks. But first, maybe you can give us a little background on yourself and where you came from and how you got to where you are today.
Great. You know, if you ask my mother, I came from heaven.
I love it.
I'm basically a New York City guy. I worked on Wall Street, but even going back in time, I went to high school in New York City. I went to graduate school in New York City, and I lived up on Fifth Avenue, up by Mount Sinai. So I'm a New York City guy in and out. I came out to California in the year 2000. I came out here because I was chosen to be the CFO of a New York Stock Exchange company. And what brought me down here to Irvine, California, was M&A. I became head of M&A, executive vice president for another New York Stock Exchange company. So that's what got me down here. I call this place heaven with a zip code. It's absolutely beautiful. And I'm not really missing New York City too much.
Just kind of curious, you relocated here. I mean, a big change, I'm sure, from New York City to this area. And M&A, just to clarify for those that may not know, is mergers and acquisitions. But you're also a professor at UC Irvine, is that correct?
Yes, I teach at UCI. I've been there about 7 years. I teach strategy and I also teach entrepreneurship.
Oh, that's exciting. That's great. Well, I have a ton of questions to ask you, and so I'm just going to jump right in here because you've got a great story. But you know, you look like you made sort of a major shift in moving back here, and especially as a teacher today. And I just wondered, was there sort of a light bulb moment in your life where you really, you know, looked at the fast Wall Street lifestyle and thought maybe that's not the route you wanted to continue to take for the rest of your life?
Yeah, that's a great question, Bill. You know, Wall Street was fun. Believe me, it was a blast. There's no question about that. And I experienced different elements of it. You know, I started out in international finance, head of everything in London, Paris, Geneva, Zurich, Hong Kong, and Tokyo. So at an early age of about 30, I was traveling the world. It was absolutely wonderful. Then got involved with middle market M&A. But what brought me out here to California, I think, was a transition. I basically parlayed my fitness, shall we say, acumen into other things. And, you know, I've always been into the world of fitness, and it's just been, you know, part of my DNA. And after I had set this record, I was asked to speak at many, many corporations and sports teams and so on and so forth. I had the good fortune to speak everybody from UBS to the New York Knicks. You know, they all wanted my formula. And then what happened was I gave a pro bono speech in Newark, New Jersey to 150 African-American kids. And these kids never moved a muscle. They sat there. They listened to every word that came out of my mouth. And I said to the lady when it was over, I said, gosh, do you think it's this world record thing? And she shakes her head no. She goes, no. She said, 90% of these kids don't have a dad in their life, and you're a male figure coming into the fourth ward. They wanted to hang on your every word. So that day, I started a company called Success for Teens. And what it is, it's a program that I designed to show kids how to get it together mentally, physically, and spiritually. It's like a three-legged stool. And so for me, to go back to your question, I just kind of morphed into this. Because helping kids is really what it's about. You know, my motto in life, Bill, is learn, earn, and return. And so for me, it's all about giving it back. And I just, not to plug it, but I just completed a book. It's on Amazon. It's called The Formula for Success. And it talks about my three-legged stool, my mental, physical, and spiritual, how to get that life into balance. If one of those legs on the three-legged stool isn't there, it's you're out of balance. And so what the book is, and it's inexpensive, I priced it so it's under $10, and it's under 100 pages, so it's good reading, and it gives you the formula of what it's all about. So to answer your question in a long-winded way, I morphed into going from the world of finance into the world of technically helping people.
Wow, that's neat. Well, we definitely want to explore the book and your definition of success as we move forward. But before I do that, I wanted to look at maybe something in your life that was sort of on the other side of the scale. Maybe a biggest mistake, an area where you really, you know, I believe mistakes are an important part of learning. In fact, I feel sometimes the learning really starts after the first mistake. But what would you say is sort of that biggest mistake that really shaped the you into the person you are today?
You know, that's a great question. I just don't think that way, Bill. I don't think in the world of mistakes. I think every, as you call it, mistake, for me, everything is a learning lesson. So for me, it's, you know, the basic tenor of what I live by is like, are you living or are you surviving? And I like to live. And, you know, I always say the only way to get to the door of success is through the door of failure. You have to fail a lot. So when you make these mistakes, et cetera, to me, I just look at them as learning opportunities. I don't really process them as a woe is me type of situation. You know, my journey has taken me to where I am, you know, based on, you know, sound analysis and decisions at certain points in my life. And I think as we all get older than 50, you know, we start to take a inventory about what it is all about and what is the road to happiness. And for me, I live this way on a daily basis. You know, one of the things that I talk to my audiences about is creating a PMA or a positive mental attitude. You can either create a positive mental attitude or a negative mental attitude. And it's like really reaching for faucets, you know, the hot and cold. Both are equidistant. You can turn one as easy as the other. It's up to you which one you decide you want to do. So I never focus on the word mistakes or failure. In fact, in my book, I use the word setbacks. And so what kind of puts me into a little bit of a different category is when I have a setback, and I have, believe me, I have 7 or 8 setbacks before I have a hit, I process it in a way that, number one, I know it's coming. Number two, I'm encouraged by it. Number three, I learn from it. And number four, I kind of create a platform on how to go from that level up to the next level. So I process different than most people. A lot of people, when they make mistakes or failures, as you call them, you know, they wear the hair shirt, they cry, they whine, you know, they do a lot of, you know, woe is me type stuff. That's 100% different than the way I process it. And so I think it's a matter of mentally preparing yourself the right way to look at, as you call them, mistakes or failures. And it's all a learning curve.
Great, great. Well, how would you define success then?
Yeah, for me, it's setting a moral and ethical goal and achieving it. You know, it's funny, Bill, when I'm on stage, I will ask my audience, and it can be sometimes 1,000, 5,000 to 10,000 people. I ask just this very simple question. I said, how many of you have dreams? And literally 90% of everybody raises their hand. And the first words out of my mouth after I see this is, dreams are BS. And, you know, everybody's going, whoa, who hired this guy? but you see, dreams and goals are identical except for one thing. Goals have target dates for completion. And that's what separates that from a dream. You have to actually, you know, I've got a 10-step process in my book, how you have to set your goals, how you have to, one of the top issues in writing, in designing your goals is to write them down. So what I do, and I know this sounds a little goofy, but I'm okay with that. I write them down and I post them on my lamp. So it's the last thing I see when I go to bed, and it's the first thing I see when I wake up in the morning. So I am laser focused on making these things happen. They're not dreams anymore. They're real issues that I'm out to achieve.
Wow, that's neat. Now, do you sort of separate those out in sort of a longer term goals and break them into smaller goals to achieve that longer term goal?
Absolutely. It's the 1 year and versus the long term. Absolutely. And the other thing too is you want to reward yourself as you're going through this process. One of the things I say in my book is 95% of the people on the planet are not successful for certain, you know, reasons. 5% are, and I mention them exactly what they are in the book. You really have to have the right attitude, you have to have tenacity, and you have to be motivated. And you know, when you combine those things together, you're off to the races. And so that you think of it like an ATM machine. Attitude, tenacity, motivation.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, as you know, a lot of our guests are folks that are, you know, 50 plus. Some of them are retired already, but there are those that are sort of approaching retirement. Mm-hmm. And some of them are excited about it. Others are apprehensive. Some are reluctant.
Sure.
You know, there's just the whole range there. And that's why a lot of folks listen to this show, because they're looking at real estate investing as a means to supplement their retirement, or a way to invest their funds so that they can, you know, maximize them for the term of their retirement. You know, a lot, some are wondering, well, do I have the funds that are going to last me through this retirement period? Do I have the funds if there's a medical emergency or some other type of family emergency and so forth? So there's a lot of
apprehension.
Yeah, apprehension. And you know, you're a guy that's already there. You know, you're not retired by any means. In fact, I doubt you're ever going to call yourself retired. What advice do you have for these folks that are kind of in this situation right now?
Yeah, well, two things I'm going to mention. First, I'm really far from ever retiring. To me, retirement is not even a word. You know, to me, I don't understand that at all. You know, going back to what I said before, are you living or are you surviving? To me, retirement is surviving. That's just not me. It's not my DNA. You know, but there's a different lid for every pot. So I'm not, you know, castrating anybody for doing this thing. I think it's, you know, everybody has to follow their own drummer. The concept is this, though. You know, I'm right now, believe it or not, a candidate or possible candidate for the next American Ninja Warrior. So it's a TV show that that is all strength related. Now, even as an old dog, as you refer to them, I will, you know, get through this course, and it will be a blast, and I'll just show you what you can do. But going back to your original thing, your original statement, Bill, about people being apprehensive and, you know, trying to create the nest egg, the problem with that is it's fear-based. And I'm not that. I'm 100% on the other side of that equation. I think we make certain decisions, whether it be real estate investing, whether it be, you know, stocks, bonds, annuities, whatever it might be. You know, sometimes people are investing for the right reasons, and sometimes, you know, maybe not the right reasons. And, you know, real estate to me, and I am, believe me, no expert in this space, but it's obviously a wonderful space to be in. You know, if you look at just the way commercial and residential properties have moved over the past 20 years, it's better than the stock market. And I'm a stock market type of guy. So it's a wonderful space to be in, but you're going to have dips. You know, there's always adjustments. You know, historical data always shows there's going to, you know, we experienced it, what, 07, 08. You know, all of a sudden, a $500,000 property was $250,000. And it was like, okay, let's start again. So there's going to be ups and downs, and that's the way life is as well. And I think if you operate off a fear-based formula, you're going to be, you know, destined to create higher stress levels in your body, which is not good at all in any way, shape, or form. So, you know, without being totally winded on this particular topic, I think it's how you set up mentally is really the most important thing.
One thing that also I look at when I look at your background and your current activities is that you've obviously seen the importance of giving back, and it's an important part of your DNA, it looks like here. And, you know, the things that you've done with the Make-A-Wish Foundation, your Success for Teens organization, just the things you've done with teens is amazing. How do you feel that fits in the mix of being a successful person?
Well, I think it's the third leg of that stool that I mentioned before, learn, earn, and return. It's a matter of giving it back. And I do this even today with my students at UCI. I normally have 90 kids in my class, and I tell them they're my adopted kids.
So, only 90.
I'm always oversubscribed for some funny reason, but the truth is that these 90 kids are my adopted kids. And I said, you know, although you're my adopted kids, I don't expect you living in my basement after you graduate. I want them to find jobs. And so I'm out there trying to, you know, I bring in guest speakers, you know, human resources people get these kids opportunities job-wise, life off to a good start for them. And so it really comes down to, I think everything that I do has always got that undertow of giving back and helping.
I think that's awesome. You know, I think that to me, you know, that's kind of one of the joys of, you know, having a little bit of extra time in these later years is just the opportunity to be able to even give more time and more of yourself, you know, to causes and things that are important, you know, to others. So that's really exciting. Next American Ninja Warrior, and people are not seeing a video, they're not seeing you, but, you know, I mean, for those that aren't, I mean, this guy is just like built, okay? He's okay. No, you're a rock, man. And I was the only thing I could equate it to is, you know, as a kid, you know, growing up and seeing Jack LaLanne and how he just like totally inspired me, you know, and he would pull those big boats, you know, and with a rope on his teeth, you know, and stuff. Yeah. You're like a modern day, I mean, seriously, Jack LaLanne, but I mean, like, you know, on steroids, you know. Not that I'm saying you take steroids, no, but
trust me, I'm not on the juice. That's what'll kill you.
No, but you've got these Popeye biceps, you know, and I mean, no, you're just like in amazing shape. It's a real inspiration, especially for me, you know, as I'm kind of going, wait, maybe there's still hope for me.
Bill, there's always hope. You know, if your audience gets an opportunity, my website is really very easy to remember. It's just www.billmorrisspeaker.com. And then you can see my site, what I do, and all that kind of cool stuff. So it's very simple. Just my name and the word speaker.com.
That's great. That's an excellent reference. You sound like you're involved in a lot of these. You've got some real exciting things going with your students. You've got this book that's coming out. You've got the next American Ninja Warrior. I mean, you've got all these things. What thing really is like exciting you right now? I mean, as of today, that has you just really pumped for the next couple of months anyway?
You know, all of it, Bill. You know, I don't categorize one, you know, as the total juice. They all are challenging. You know, like I said, when I wrote this book, The Formula for Success, you know, now I've got it in my hands. Now I got to figure out how to market it, how to get it out there. It's a great book for millennials because a lot of these, you know, young kids are really trying to figure out what it's all about. And so it's a very simple book. Now I have to go through the challenge of how to market it. The ninja situation, that's a daily routine. I work out every day. It's just a way of life. It's like brushing your teeth. You know, I'm writing another book right now on entrepreneurship, and it's going to be called So You Want to Be an Entrepreneur. And we talk about the psychological aspects of, you know, going into business for yourself and so on and so forth. And so that book should be out by the end of the year. And what I'm also looking forward to is next month getting back to teaching my kids over at UCI, my students, I should say. And, you know, just looking at those young, eager faces and, you know, giving them some hope in the future and giving them some inside track on how business really works. So there's a lot of things that are going on.
No, that's got to be exciting. That's great. And, you know, I'm going to deviate a little bit here, just a little bit on the Ninja Warrior here, that thing. Is, you know, you say you're working out for it. Now, I've seen that show, and I don't know how you'd work out for this thing. I mean, you know, you jump off of a wall onto a rope and, you know, spin around some kind of, you know, jump on a ball in the water. I mean, how do you work out for something like that? You know, I mean, maybe it's kind of like CrossFit or something, but I mean, it's, how do you really work out for something like that?
Well, the way you do it is, I mean, if you've seen the show, you realize it's upper body strength, and you've got to get phenomenal grip strength, and you've got to be able to do a lot of pull-ups. It's a lot of, you know, moving your own body weight. And I think when you go to my website, billmorrisspeaker.com, you'll see some of my workouts on that. There's three little clips on there, and you'll get a feeling for, you know, what it takes. So it's mostly an upper body type of situation. The guys that are very successful on the show are guys that are probably 130 to 140 pounds. You know, unfortunately, I'm closer to 180 pounds, and so it's much more difficult as guys are carrying more muscle. It's because the grip strength and the upper body strength ratio, when you're hanging in the air, sooner or later dissipates. It's a lot easier if you're 130 pounds than if you're 230 pounds. So anyway, it's a lot of upper body. The good news about it is I don't have to do a lot of cardio. it's mostly weightlifting. And so from that perspective, it works out really good for me.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Yeah, they look like you got to be able to throw your weight around a lot, too. I mean, to get from one point to another, too. So I imagine I could see the weight factor being important, too.
Yeah. You know, I've got a YouTube video that you get a kick out of. It's called Bill Morris's 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 workout. And when you see that on YouTube, you'll see I do all of this in 5 minutes. And it's 10 pull-ups. It's 20 curls with, I don't know, 45 pounds in each hand. Then it's 30 bar dips. It's 40 sit-ups with a 45-pound plate on my chest. And then the big one comes in where I bench press my weight 50 times. And so I do all of this. That's 150 exercises within 5 minutes.
Within 5 minutes? Oh, God.
Yeah.
So, I was just looking at the sit-ups. And I said, well, that could take me about a half hour right there, you know? wow. Yeah. That's intense.
You can do anything you set your mind to. You just have to have the right formula on how to do it. And that's what I try to, you know, give out in the book, especially when it comes to the mental, physical, and spiritual. The physical, you know, isn't so much about lifting weights. You really have to kind of get started by eating properly. And, you know, I don't want to get off on a tangent here, but, you know, food only comes in three categories. It comes in plant, animal, and processed. And so if you can make 60 to 70% of your diet plant-based, you're going to do great.
I agree with you on that one. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, since we're on the subject anyway, we're talking about the physical thing, and I'm sure you get tired of the sit-up questions, but, you know, okay, I'll try to ask them real quick here, because I'm sure you've answered them a million times. But, you know, here you are. This is 20,100 consecutive sit-ups, and can you just tell me, how did that look? I mean, what did that look like? You're on your back, you're ready to, you know, do these sit-ups. You had counters, right? People with a little clicker that counted you as you did it, but it went for 11 hours.
Yeah, well, you know, I've got a really good pharmacist, so I've got great drugs. Just muscle care. The way it started was the first year I did 5,000, and the second year I did 10,000, then I did 15,000, then the 20. What happened was in the first year when I did the 5,000, I went into Al Gordon, who is our chairman at Kidder Peabody, which is one of the top investment banks down on Wall Street. And Al ran marathons himself until he was in his 80s. So it was a wonderful athlete-to-athlete kind of situation. I go in and talk to Al, and I said, Al, I want you to give me $1 a sit-up. And we're talking literally for, you know, 20 minutes, and I'm walking out of Al's office, and I turn around and said, Al, I said, you never even asked me how many I'm going to do. So he goes, oh, yeah, how many will do? And I said, 5,000. And he goes, oh, great. You know, this was like coffee money for this guy. The first year, that's all the money we raised was $5,000. And, you know, as it got more TV coverage and so on and so forth, we got to raising about $150,000 each year for the kids. And that's really what it was all about. It was, you know, all Make-A-Wish.
Yeah, that all benefited the Make-A-Wish Foundation, which is an awesome organization. That's so neat. There's probably people wondering, okay, well, so you didn't eat or drink, you know, during this time as well?
Yeah, no, I did. I drank from a biker's bottle.
Okay.
You squeeze it, and then the water, you can get it while you're moving. So I'm moving for 11 and a half hours. You know, it's a very, very fine line between drinking enough fluids to hydrate the muscles so you don't cramp versus having to go to the bathroom.
Well, okay, there's the big question.
That's the big question. So the reason that the number is 20,100, and I'll share this with you and your audience, is as ABC, NBC, and CBS came in to set up their cameras, I had just surpassed the 20,000, and I didn't want to be interviewed in the bathroom. So I just kept going for another 100 while they were interviewing me. And as soon as the interview was over, I shot to the bathroom, and it was, you know, I had to go to the bathroom so bad, you can't even imagine. I mean, to this day, I can remember how painful it was. But, you know, you have to hydrate to keep the muscles, you know, from the lactic acid building up and cramping. And I actually did cramp around 17,283, as I remember. I got a leg cramp in my calf. But, you know, I kept going and I needed it out while I was going. But yeah, it's a real fine balance between keeping the body, you know, fluid level up and relieving the kidneys and bladder. So it was, funny story, I should tell you this too. So in the fifth year, I did 25,000, but I don't even talk about that or count that because I took a couple potty breaks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you also shared with me a little funny story too about one of your counters.
Yeah, that was, I think the year I did the 10,000, I had one of the kids, you know, was, you know, pushing this little counter just with his thumb. And after about 20 minutes, because, you know, they would kind of just trade out every hour a new kid would come in. So this kid turns to me and he goes, Mr. Morris, he goes, I don't know how to tell you this. I say, what? I'm going back and forth. He goes, my thumb is getting tired. You know, I felt like, you know, jumping up and strangling. Tired, wow. Everything's relative.
Yeah, I need some relief. My thumb's just about to fall off here. Okay.
happened today with the kids with their, you know, texting and, you know, their thumb, the powerful thumbs that they have on their iPhones.
That's true. Probably wouldn't happen today, you know. No. Well, gosh, this has been so interesting. We have a thing we call the wrap it up session, and I ask you a series of real quick questions, and hopefully, you know, just give me a quick response back. Just resources, you know, favorite book, favorite business book, things like that, and answer as best you can. You know, I don't expect a sort of perfect answers here, but just as they come to mind. If you're up for that, we'll just go ahead and do our quick little wrap it up session.
Sure.
All right, so let's start with number one favorite book.
Boy, you know, I think I love all the books by Nelson DeMille. I think he's phenomenal. You know, I love his books. So The Lion is probably the one that is my favorite, but he's got some amazing ability to write. So I love all of Nelson DeMille's books.
Excellent. Yeah. Do you have a favorite business book?
You know, I really don't. I've got one, you know, that I use in my strategic management course, but my favorite book will be the one that I write that's coming out at Christmas. It's called So You Want to Be an Entrepreneur. And it goes through the whole psychological aspects of being in business for yourself, as well as if you want to be an entrepreneur, these are the things you have to do. So that, look for that at Christmas time. That'll help a lot of people.
Oh, that's great. Now, your other book, The Success Formula, is already out. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's called The Formula for Success.
Gotcha. Yeah. The Formula for Success, right?
Right.
And that's on Amazon, right? So
exactly. Yeah.
We'll have a link definitely on our website and in our show notes section too, just so for those listening, so you'll be able to find it easily. Yeah. How about, do you have a favorite website that you use on a regular basis? That
not really, but I like Waze. You know, kind of always show you where the traffic is when you're caught in traffic.
Oh yeah.
You know, that one seems to work out pretty good. Since we're actually not, you know, right now I can actually look at my iPhone since you're not looking at me. Waze seems to be the one that works for me. And of course, I love Pandora.
Yes, same here.
Even when I work out.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, and well, those both kind of actually filled my next question, which was favorite app, because they're both great apps too. So that's great. How about a favorite quote?
You know, my favorite quote is one that I usually end my seminars with, and it's by Mother Teresa. And she says, you know, we can't do great things in this world. We can only do small things with great love.
I love that. I love that. My final question here, and this was, you know, from somebody who's been very successful in business. Let's say something catastrophic happened and all you had left was $1,000 in cash. What would you do with that $1,000 to sort of rebuild your resources again?
I would go to Vegas. I think I would probably just divide it into thirds, you know, and create something for food, shelter, and, you know, kind of do an allocation. That's probably what I would end up doing.
Mm. And I imagine you would definitely, I mean, it sounds like you've got a lot of contacts and folks that it would also help you, you know, move to that next level as well. So,
Absolutely. And that's a very interesting point. That's a great point, too, because I think we can always depend on our friends. You know, because whenever you're down, everybody gets down and out at some time of their life. It's just the way life is. And to be able to, you know, turn to your friends and ask for some help, that's, you know, really what it's all about.
That's great. Well, Bill, I'm sure there's a lot of folks that will want to check out your book to find out more about you and what you what you're doing. Also, you know, some of these great videos, so old dogs can get to start working out again. What's the best way to find those resources?
Well, I think the first one is the BillMorrisSpeaker.com. That's always an easy way to find me. You know, the book is very simple. It's The Formula for Success and - Bill Morris. You can find that on Amazon. That's always an easy way. And quite honestly, if somebody wants to reach me, at my personal email, you can get me at the university, and that's wcmorris@uci.edu. So it's a little combination of things right there.
Great. Well, Bill, this has been just a great time. I can't thank you enough for coming on. This is great. And we are going to grab that cup of coffee because we're neighbors here.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
I got to dress in like some loose clothes or something here because, you know, walking around with Popeye, you know, it's going to be a real contrast here.
But I'll tell you what, we'll make a deal. I'll wear loose clothing too. So nobody will know anything.
Not that I'm that vain or anything, but you don't know.
It's okay.
You're just a real inspiration and a heck of a nice guy. And it's just exciting what you're doing. I mean, you are not slowing down by any means. If anything, it sounds like you're speeding up here, becoming a ninja warrior here. And you're going to have to tell us when you get a date when that's going to be on, too, because I definitely want to let our listeners know, because they're going to want to watch and cheer you on. So I'm sure.
I've been trying on this, get on the show for a while. They actually reached out to me, and they gave me a walk-on status 1 year, and they never got to the walk-on. So I told them I'm an old dog. I'm not going to wait out, for 2 days outside. My idea of bumming it is at the Four Seasons or the Hilton. So, unless they give me a number, it's not going to work. So
that's
hopefully
right.
this year will be the year.
You got to tell them they got to respect their elders. You know, that's.
God bless you.
All right. Well, Bill, we're not closed yet. We actually, we do have one tradition here that we have on this show. We are called the Old Dogs REI Network. And all of our guests, we've had all kinds, accountants and lawyers and bankers and real estate investors. Everybody has to give us their best old hound dog howl to close out the show. So, Bill, I'm asking you, are you ready for this?
I think I am ready. I can do this.
Or should I say, are you ready for the challenge? I'll make it a challenge. I know you'll do it.
Yeah. Set the bar low, and you'll always achieve. So here we go. Like, that's probably the worst one that you've ever had.
it's okay. I always give like a second chance if you want to take it.
No, I'm good with that. I can build on that platform.
I love it. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Bill. And gosh, I can't thank you enough for coming on, taking the time to do this. And I think you're going to be a real blessing and inspiration for our listeners.
Thank you so much, Bill. And if anybody's got any questions, just have them reach out. Always happy to help. And I've got, over 10,000 connections on LinkedIn. So, that's always another way to find me, Bill Morris, at LinkedIn. So you'll get me there, too.
Yeah, that's how we connected. Yeah, definitely.
That's right.
Now, there's got to be 10,000 Bill Morrises, I imagine.
Yeah, good point. And I don't know, maybe if you put in Google Bill Morris and sit ups.
I'm going to put a link. I'll put a link to your LinkedIn there. So. All right. Well, thanks again. And I just want to thank all of our old dog listeners out there, too, for joining us. I know there's a lot of the things you could be doing right now, but the fact that you've taken the time to join us, it means a lot, and we really appreciate it. And please note, everything we've talked about here, everything Bill's talked about, including these links so that you could get a hold of him, also get access to some of his resources, and, of course, his great book that's out. You can reach all of that information through our website and our show notes. Okay, so it's olddogsreinetwork.com/blog, and then look for the episode with Bill. And so, Lord, gosh, we really thank you, Bill, and we thank you, listening audience. That's it for today. Remember, cash flow is king, real estate investing the means. And until next time, keep moving forward, and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.